Big brother Bob Braitman served and was appointed and served as a LAFCO executive officer for over 40 years. Started in Ventura LAFCO back in 1974, 18 years, then to Santa Barbara LAFCO, 20 years. Then finishing off at Contra Costa County, and he'll correct me if I remember correctly, that might be the smallest county in California, and then San Benito County. And in addition to serving as an executive officer, he provided professional services to 20 other LAFCOs and prepared municipal service reviews, spheres of influence, SOI updates, or is that SOL, serving as special LAFCO staffer and corporation conducting various studies. He retired, started his own independent consulting firm, and he's been gracious to consult with me over the years. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Big Brother Bob Braitman.
Hello there.
Good to talk to you as always. And I always jokingly called you Big Brother Bob Braitman because I thought you were like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. You were the executive director, but you were really running all of the politics in the state of California.
No, I was a pale reflection of the elected officials I was privileged to serve.
You sound like a diplomat. You sound like a diplomat.
The staff doesn't have any authority. All it can do is make analysis and recommendations. The actual decision-making is left to the elected and appointed officials.
Right, but you're out there, you know, garnering all the information. Going back, we want to talk a little bit about incorporation versus formation, special districts. But first, what's on the front burner here is Santa Barbara County is required to zone over 5,600 units by 2031. And over 4,000 of those units need to be in the South County, which is 73%. And right now in Nolita, San Marcos Growers, Hollister, Turnpike area, they've approved 4,100 units over four parcels, which is a huge percentage, 43% of all required units. And I'm pulling my hair out. I just can't believe it's happening. Is this just what is in store for all of coastal towns in California?
I think what we're seeing in California are two things. Number one, population growth, and number two, a lack of affordable housing. California has actually had a net population loss for the last 2 years because people can't afford to buy a house here, so they buy a house in Utah or Idaho or some other place because they can commute by email to work, and that's driving up the price of cost of houses in other states, just supply and demand.
It's a very good point, and you're echoing what I just have been hearing from so many people. And it's pretty unusual for California to be experiencing a net loss, because for so many years, we were just rocking and rolling.
If you go north on I-5, right before you get to the state border, there's a billboard that says, "Don't Californicate Oregon."
Yeah. Yeah, people who move out of town, they try to change their license plates very quickly. It's, you know, this lack of affordable housing. When you have coastal towns like Santa Barbara, some people just feel like, how can we make it affordable? Did we just build? Can we build our way out of this problem?
Well, I think one thing we have to do, it's obvious, is build houses with less square footage per lot. My wife and I own a four-bedroom house in Ventura, single-family lot, very comfortable for us, and yet it's not the most efficient use of space in terms of backyards and front yards with everyone on our street. So one thing I think you see happening is newer housing is being built with greater density than previous housing.
Well, this is very true. My guest today, Bob Braitman, who I guess you've officially retired, but for 40 years was serving as LAFCO, local agency formation commission executive officer for 40 plus years. Was I correct that Contra Costa County is the smallest county in California?
It may be physically, but it's not the least populous. I think Mono County's got the fewest population of any county. There are 58 counties in California. Every one of them is similar in that it's governed by a board of supervisors, and it consists of incorporated land, meaning territory within cities, and unincorporated land, meaning all the territory that's not within a city. The board of supervisors has zoning authority over the unincorporated area. One reason people choose to become a city to incorporate is so they have control over local land use.
Well, you know what? Since you cracked that door open, we'll can circle back to density, but let's talk about that because we experienced that ourselves not too long ago with the city of Goleta wanting to incorporate. I remember one time you told me that in a given area, if people's feel that their needs are being met, services, they might not rock the boat to change. Were you involved with the incorporation of Goleta cityhood?
Yes, I was the executive officer of the Santa Barbara LAFCA when the city became a city.
My
And
goodness.
to become a city in California, you have to do a fiscal analysis, which shows that the city will be financially feasible. When you incorporate a city, certain revenues are transferred from the county to the city. And you have to do a fiscal analysis to demonstrate whether the new city is financially feasible or not.
I remember that. Th there's a term that I think I learned from you. Was it something sharing, revenue sharing?
Well, there is revenue sharing. For example, when you annex, when you incorporate a city, a portion of the county's property tax is transferred to the new city. And to do that, you do a fiscal analysis to see what portion of the county services are provided by property tax. For example, when you become a city, certain functions that used to be county functions become municipal functions. For example, law enforcement. Now, the city might have its own police department or may contract with the county sheriff, but it's still the city's obligation, and therefore they need a source of revenue. Also, sales taxes on properties would develop sales tax within the city gets a sales tax in the unincorporated area that goes to the county.
Right. I remember this, and it's remind and what's ringing a bell that I've read about is that in order to make it work, I think, am I correct in saying something like the city of Goleta had to really give up a tremendous amount of income revenue to the county? And have they since tried to renegotiate that deal? Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, basically what it is, if the incorporation of a city adversely affects the county government, there can be a revenue sharing agreement approved by the voters when they incorporate to enable the incorporation to proceed and not adversely affect the county government. Now, certain county functions are not changed. For example, law enforcement in terms of the sheriff, and doing the jail and probation and so forth, those remain the same whether it's incorporated or unincorporated. But other services, such as law enforcement on the street, becomes a municipal function.
My
So it's a detailed analysis you have to conduct called the revenue tr neutrality agreement.
that's the term I was remembering, revenue neutrality agreement, and it had to be approved by the voters. I remember my good friend Brent Clogie, who lived in the city in the what would to become the city of Goleta. And he remembers all his neighbors, they were saying, "Oh, another vote for cityhood. It's been up and down. No one ever goes." And you know what? They didn't even bother to vote. And the people who wanted cityhood were really strong. And they pushed it through. And I think a lot of locals were shocked that they, because they didn't participate and they weren't actively involved and they weren't too happy about it. And this revenue sharing, the revenue neutrality agreement, I just remember reading that that the city of Goleta really had to give up a lot of revenue. And I don't know if they were ever able to renegotiate that deal. Do you?
Well, the point that's important, I think, is that the city of Goleta is functioning financially. It's a sound economic unit. It provides services and it does not go in the red. Now, whether it could have been a better agreement at the time of incorporation, or whether the city proponents settled for less than they should have, is anybody's decision. But those days are past us now.
Okay, good point, and good to hear. I mean, I have no clue if city taxes had to be raised for people living within the city. Do we know that?
No, there was not.
Okay.
Well, let's talk a little bit about unincorporated areas, because there's a large area between the city of Santa Barbara and the city of Goleta, which is in neither city. It's unincorporated land.
Right. That's the
And
no leader.
yeah. And in that manner, those houses exist and those populations exist because before there was a city of Goleta, certain special districts were formed to provide water and sewer services. And so the properties could be developed with utilities, even though there was no city there. And just the fact of nature that once people live in a home in the unincorporated area, they're not eager to annex to a city. They're afraid of municipal taxes or city restrictions on land use. So we have an issue where we have, as you call it, Nolita, which is an unincorporated area between the two cities. In that area, the county sheriff provides law enforcement.
Now, you mentioned the special districts are formed. Do you mean something like a water district?
Yeah, water districts, the sanitary district, utility districts like that.
Right. My guest is Bob Breitman, who you probably never heard of, but for 40 years, this man was working as an executive officer for LAFCO, Local Agency Formation Commission, and at 20 of those 40 years was right here in Santa Barbara, working along the Santa Barbara Board of Supervisors.
And by the way, let's just talk about LAFCO for one moment. The commission is made up of five or seven members. If it's a county with five members, there are two members of the Board of Supervisors, chosen by the Board of Supervisors, two mayors or members of city councils, chosen by all the mayors, and then a member of the public who's chosen by the other four members. In some counties, such as Santa Barbara, there are seven members. Two county, two city, one public, and then two special district representatives chosen by the independent special districts. So that's who the governing board of this commission is.
How do I get on this board?
Well, if you're elected to the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Supervisors can appoint you. If you're elected to a city council, the mayor's selection committee can appoint you. If you're on a special district board of directors where you're elected, the Special Districts Association can appoint you to LAFCO. And if you're just a regular everyday citizen, the other members of the commission can appoint you. These are for fixed periods of time, for 4-year terms.
Well, that's what I want to do. I'm a regular everyday citizen. I need to contact these people and sell them and have them appoint me.
Submit an application next time there's a vacancy in the public member.
And will you write a letter of reference for me?
And what's interesting is there's alternate members too. So there's two members of the Board of Supervisors who are voting members, and a third member who's an alternate member who votes in case one of the other members is absent or not or disqualified from a particular item. So you could become an alternate public member before you become a regular public member. There's usually a way to be elevated from one to the other.
No, I won't accept. I won't be an alternate. I'm either in or out.
Okay.
So let's circle back to what you were talking about in the area where I live, the unincorporated area between the cities of Goleta and Santa Barbara. There's always was talk about would one city want to annex it? And in order for one city to annex this area, the people within the unincorporated area would have to vote on it.
Well, you talk about two things. Number one, an election to a city. If the area to be annexed is incorporated, is a population has 12 or more registered voters, there may have to be an election by the part of those living in the annexation area. That's an annexation to one of the two cities. If you're talking about consolidating the two cities and making one city out of Santa Barbara and Goleta, that would require a different procedure, which would require the city councils to agree and place the matter before all the voters.
No, I'm talking about the annexation, either Santa Barbara or Goleta,
Well, here's what you have to
endeavoring to
do.
annex the area.
Here's what you have to do. Number one, you have to apply for annexation. That can be by a petition or registered voter petition, or by a resolution of the city to initiate the process. Then there has to be a property tax exchange before LAFCO can hear the matter and make a decision. There has to be a property tax exchange agreement between with the annexing city and the county. In Santa Barbara County, I think we have master tax exchange agreements which apply prospectively to all annexations to this or that city. But you can't have LAFCO hear the matter until there's a property tax exchange agreement. Also, the area to be annexed to a city has to be contiguous. It has to be adjacent to or touching the city. Cities cannot annex non-contiguous territory.
Tell that to the Santa Barbara Airport, City
Oh,
of
yeah.
Santa Barbara Airport.
Well, actually, that airport is contiguous by means of a strip annexation years ago.
I
But
remember
while
that.
the annexation is technically in the Goleta Valley, it is connected to and legally within the city of Santa Barbara.
I remember that. A strip of land out in the ocean. It sounded like a scam to me, and I guess they made sure that that's not going to happen again. But let's circle back. What you're saying is if the people within the unincorporated area decided they wanted to approach either the city of Goleta or city of Santa Barbara, they could endeavor to do it. But what about the reverse? What if one of the cities suggested that they wanted to do it? It just basically takes that the people within the unincorporated area would have to vote on it to make it happen. Is that
Yes,
correct?
the annexation process can be initiated by either the registered voters living within the annexation area or the annexing city adopting a resolution. That's the way you initiate the process. The process goes next to LAFCO for review and approval. They'll have a public hearing, they'll take testimony, and if LAFCO approves the annexation, then it's up to the registered voters in the annexation area to make the final decision.
My guess is the people here wouldn't want endeavor to do that. And would you see any reason why either the city of Santa Barbara or the city of Goleta would want to make the effort to try to add this to their cities?
In LAFCO circles, there's a term called Kaufman's Law. And Kaufman's Law says people next to cities biologically oppose being annexed. Once someone has a home and they're living in it, they don't see a need for a change in jurisdiction. For example, the city of Santa Barbara provides many services whether you live in the city or not. You don't have to be a city resident to use city parks.
That's true. That's true.
And so there has to be some benefit to people to annex to the city. Other than just voting for the city council, that may not be sufficient.
When you name the name of that law, did you say Coffin's Law, like buried in a coffin?
No. Kaufman was a LAFCO executive up in San Mateo County. He was a longtime LAFCO exec, and we just called that in jest Kaufman's Law,
Oh.
meaning people next to cities biologically opposed being annexed to the city.
Well, actually, a coffin, like a burial coffin, would work too. You're trapped by the city. But Kaufman, like the comedian Andy Kaufman. Okay,
That's
well,
right.
I don't foresee anything happening in Nolita. I don't see them going anywhere. And my guest today has been Bob Breitman, local agency formation commission executive officer for over 40 years. Four different counties, 20 years of Santa Barbara, almost 20 for Ventura, and then went out on his own consulting, and now I guess officially retired, except when he comes on to Radio Real Estate. Bob, thank you so much for your time. Always good to talk to you.
You do a good job. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Okay, we'll talk soon. The rest of you stay tuned. The best is yet to come on Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate.